believer, filled with the Spirit of God, will be indicted of the Holy Spirit, that the Church of Jesus Christ might be edified. Perhaps in this very church, there is a lacking of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's the reason souls aren't being saved as they are. Maybe that's not the reason why God is not getting the glory out of this church that he ought. Who knows? If every believer in here were to yield their lives unto Jesus Christ in absolute submission, let the Spirit of God fill them with his divine fullness, this would be an enriched church. Christ would be glorified. Souls would be saved. It would be fulfilling its ministry that God has for it. There's one more evidence, so I could give some more. It's the primary one. I'll save it for last. Not because it's least, it's the greatest. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not given to bless you, though he will do that. He is not given in his fullness to thrill you, though no doubt he will do that. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not given to exalt you, though in due time he will do that at the rapture. But he won't do it now. For if he does not speak of himself, he surely will not exalt you. The fullness of the Holy Spirit has one primary purpose, and that's to enthrone Jesus Christ in you, to completely reveal him to you, in you, and through you, so that you could say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ. We read this text in our scripture reading. Jesus said, he will not speak of himself. He will take of the things of mine and show them unto you. He will glorify me. Now that's the work of the Spirit. Not to make you wonderful, to bless you above everyone else. Look what Jesus said. Ye shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's the purpose of it. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Three or four years ago, I went into the electrical exhibition over here at the fair, put on by GE. Many of you saw it. They had an induction coil system there that stepped the current over 5 million volts from 110. Remember? Man could take his rod over here and make lightning jump back and forth. All kinds of things they do with this electricity. And then finally, he had a helper there. And he sat the helper on top of the machine, turned the juice on, and the man's hair went straight up. I wouldn't have made a good assistant, but this man had a lot of hair. And as I sat there, I thought, that's an illustration. That's exactly what a lot of folks think the fullness of the Holy Spirit is for, just to make your hair stand on end. Just to shock you. Great. Bless you. All selfish. Oh, no. No. No, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. He's to enthrone Jesus Christ in you as a believer. He's to take of the things of Christ and show them unto you. Now let us quote that second prayer again of the Apostle Paul, where he prays that God would grant them to be strengthened with all might by the infusion of his Spirit into the inner man, that they may be rooted and grounded in love, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that they might be thoroughly able with all faith to lay hold of the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, the whole cube of salvation. That they might know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. That they might be filled with all the fullness of God. What's the purpose then? Christ. All centers around Him. I care not what gift a man may have. I care not what thrilling experience he may have. If he does not have an inner revelation of Jesus Christ such as he never had, and an outer demonstration of the life of Christ, that man isn't filled with the Spirit of God. The primary evidence of the Spirit's fullness is to come to know Christ as you never knew him before in your life. To come to love him as you never loved him before in your life. The Holy Spirit will fill you with the love of God so you can love him back with the same love wherewith he loved you. Christ will be both real to you and real in you. He'll shine out to others through you. One more thought in relationship to that before we close. Must I always be conscious of being filled with the Spirit? No. Absolutely not. The fact of the matter is, most of the time, you will be the least conscious of his book. For he won't speak of himself. But it doesn't mean other folks won't be conscious of it. They'll know. They'll see. I wish I had time to take several illustrations of the answer to that question. Paul said to the Corinthians, I was in your midst in weakness and in fear and in trembling. He wasn't conscious of power. He wasn't conscious of it at all. He was only conscious of Paul's insufficiency. But he said, when I spoke the word, it was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. When he was the weakest, God was the strongest. For God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. I have noticed in my own ministry the times when I was the most satisfied with a sermon that I had prepared. And don't you think that a preacher doesn't have those times of egotism when he feels like he's done a good job? I have studied all week on a sermon and been very well satisfied with it. I think the devil patted me on the back and said, Brother Brad, you're a good preacher, and that's a wonderful sermon, and you'll knock him dead with it. And then get up and come in on a flat tire on Sunday morning. Then there have been times when I've gone to preach and felt so weak and insufficient, I didn't know what to do with myself. And I've said, Lord, I don't have a sermon to preach. I've worked and I've studied and I've prayed and you haven't given me anything. And I don't have a sermon. And I've had God take that sermon that night and bless it and make the most powerful sermon I ever preached in my life. You don't have to be conscious of this fullness. Oh, you would if it was some physical demonstration. But you see, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is very belittling to you. Very belittling to you. It brings you to the end of self. Absolute end of self. And the more he fills, and the more he reveals Christ, the littler you think of self. The less you'll think of yourself. Until, like the Apostle Paul, you will say, in me there dwelleth no good thing, and I am the less and the least in sin. When the need arises, after you've been filled with the Spirit, there will come new power in testifying. There will come a new joy in persecution. The disciples hailed before the Sanhedrin. The council were beaten and forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus. And we read when they left the council, that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And they ceased not, the scripture says, to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You couldn't do that without the fullness of the Spirit of God. You'd sit over in a corner and pout when you're persecuted. You'd say, don't they know who I am? Don't they respect my stand? Why didn't God deliver me? They didn't do that in the early church. They were filled with the Spirit. They counted it a joy to be able to suffer shame for his name. Wonderful. Then they will come in inner peace and all the fruitage of the Spirit of God. Victory in your own life over the temptation of the flesh. A little bit more tonight along that line as we deal with how may I be filled with the Spirit. If your heart is hungry, if you long for the fullness of God, if your life is defeated this morning, let me give you a prescription. Get along with God this afternoon for a while. Pray. Ask the Spirit of God to search your heart. Prepare your heart. Prepare the vessel for the precious fullness of the Spirit of God. Christian friend, the only hindrance to your being filled with the Spirit of God is in you. In you, not in God. Shall we stand and pray? Our Father, as we look at the promises in the book, all the glorious promises and possibilities being filled with the Spirit of God, then we see the dry, empty, carnal vessel. Oh God, our hearts cry out for the reason. Why? Why is there such a dearth? Why do thy people dwell in the wilderness when they could dwell in the land of God's rest? Oh God, talk to our hearts. May every one of thy children here this morning feel the precious tugging of the Spirit of God. He brings these lessons home to our hearts. No, any advice on our part wouldn't be worth anything. But the Spirit of God himself must bring his truth home. We know he does it. Oh God, give us, we pray thee, an alacrity to obey. A precious willingness for him to have his way. A godly fear of grieving and quenching him. We commend ourselves unto thee for the precious working of the Spirit of God today. For Jesus' sake. Amen.